It's your state senator, Keith Gaynor. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
Good to have you. How are you holding up?
Well, we are. We're past the halfway point, so we're pressing on.
All right. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Give us a rundown of, you know, what the hot topics are, you know, these days in Olympia. I know we've talked budget, transportation, a lot of the different things, but what's going on that we should get out there?
Well, in the past week, we've passed some bills that I think are really troubling to me. We gave unemployment to striking workers up to 12 weeks, and that's a major issue because I think there's only one other state in the union, and you know we're concerned about the impact on employers in general because you're going to have to pay higher unemployment rates just with the anticipation that that will, you know, tap into that unemployment fund. So that's very concerning. We had a bill that added more protected classes to individuals within the school system, and we already have all the discriminatory things that are listed. I mean, if you can envision it, it's on the list, but we added more. And, you know, the big concern basically was the gender identity and, you know, the affirmation of that. And then they have ethnicity. And those are all the things that, once again, are listed in that bill. In my mind, it was all, you know, we shouldn't have been an issue the way we were treating people in the past. I mean, because we've already, you know, clearly said we don't, you know, you look at any school district, they've got their list of things with how they treat the kids and how, you know, everybody has the acceptance. But these bills just go a little bit further as far as able to bring court action or, you know, legal action against that. I think yesterday was a troubling day too, where we talked about early release for juveniles. And the bill originally had, if you had three or more murders, you probably wouldn't qualify for early release. And when I first read that, I honestly couldn't believe that was actually in there, that somebody could be in juvenile for three or more murders and, you know, have to be identified as somebody that we're not going to give an early release to. But that bill did get amended, but it still allows for early release of some offenders that I think, you know, need to be separated from society. And you know, the whole idea behind this is that we're running overload, you know, case. There's more people in the institutions right now than what they were originally built for. And so we're saying, well, we've got to get those numbers down. So we're just basically going to, you know, let people go. And that's, I think, you know, we've got some fundamental issues that need to be addressed. But I don't believe that, you know, putting people who have shown that they are not respectful of laws to put them back out in society when they're still, you know, young and they're not that separated from the offense that they committed. So those are just three of the things that, you know, just in the last few days. But I don't know if you had any other questions about things that are going on, but happy to answer anything.
Sounds like DEI is alive and well in Washington State. Yeah. Okay.
Well, yes, and you know, as far as the DEI, I mean, I think that's been the key point in the strength of our nation is that through the years we have had diversity. We've had all kinds of, you know, immigrants from literally all over the world, and we've always, you know, built a strong society based on everyone being a contributor and everyone, you know, kind of the old melting pot idea. Mm-hmm. And as Americans, we came together. But it does seem like we are trying to actually draw more distinct lines rather than pulling us together. It's become more divisive. And that's very concerning to me because, you know, I believe strongly that everyone should have, you know, equal opportunity. And we shouldn't be looking at the color of the skin or, you know, the any other identifying features. I mean, we're all in this together kind of thing, so.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk about some of the committees you sit on. Any action, say, for example, in your housing, transportation, or local government committees?
Well, the committees right now are on hold until Thursday, and then we'll start back. We'll be addressing, in the Senate, we'll be addressing those bills that have come over from the Senate. So in the housing committee. The one thing that did get passed in the House, and that will be coming over, and that'll be, you know, the rent control bill. That has been modified somewhat, but it still is, you know, fundamentally regulating that rental market, and that'll be a concern as to, you know, what that actually means, the changes that are different from what we heard in the Senate. We have other bills that are addressing just housing opportunities, whether it's the transit-oriented development, which means development around transit stops and trying to, you know, increase density in those urban areas. Those kinds of things really don't relate much to the 12th District, because it doesn't matter whether you're in, you know, Chelan County, the parts of Snohomish or King that we represent. They're fairly rural and don't have those transit routes that really provide for people to use as commuters, you know, so to speak. And so it is a different approach of dealing with housing. For us, we're looking at more flexibility with the cities and the counties in being able to develop more in areas that, you know, are appropriate and provide more housing, you know, sites and allow for people to get into that first home and then work their way up. So we're hopeful that we can make some progress on housing. Mm-hmm. The transportation side is really what is most probably overriding here is the budget. And you may have heard this last week that Governor Ferguson is talking about the ferries, and we are not going to be moving forward with that electric fleet at this point, which is good news to me, because we need to have good, predictable vessels in the water and provide a service that is consistent and make sure we get staffed up so that the people that are relying on the ferries, they really can know that there will be a sailing that they can, you know, get back and forth with. So that's a major concern of ours.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, too, the potholes on Snoqualmie Pass. Boy, that's a mess.
Well, you know, that's the old maintenance and preservation, which we've fallen behind by $1 billion a year. That's a lot of preservation that needs to be taking place. And, you know, they'll be obviously, you know, making the repairs as soon as the weather gets better. But that's as a result of falling behind on your maintenance. And so the quality of the road, you know, degradates. And as it gets more sensitive, I guess, and as the base starts to break up, it is more costly than to repair it. So we have to get on top of that and try and get kind of ahead of our repair schedule so that we do have a good, you know, solid infrastructure that people can, you know, rely on.
I know we've been looking at this deficit in regard to the budget. Any progress in terms of cutting to close that gap?
You know, that's an interesting thought, because, you know, that was probably what I thought would be the most overriding concern when it came to Olympia, and here we are over halfway. We haven't had the budgets roll out yet. I think tomorrow you'll see the Republicans will have a budget that would actually not require new taxes. We can still meet all the needs that we have to have, and I think it's a very reasonable, you know, budget to be looking at. But we haven't seen, you know, we've seen what the most drastic cuts would be, and those are not the kinds of things that I think anybody is really interested in addressing. I mean, some of the social programs that we need to make sure that we are providing support for, the, you know, those Medicaid reimbursements, they have to be there so that we can have those health care facilities, and the social services are there. But there are things that we can be addressing that can get us back in line with a more reasonable, you know, budget. We do have a 5% increase roughly in revenues, and yet it's, you know, the commitments and the spending commitments far outstrip even the increases in revenue. And that's why, you know, we believe that we can, you know, still meet the needs without having additional revenue.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know we've been
in taxes.
Yeah, okay. Because, you know, we've been talking to our state representatives as well, and they both feel very strongly that, you know, we don't have a revenue problem here. We have a spending problem. Is there any right. chance of reining it in?
Well, you know, it's the majority that are writing the budget, the one, and they're the ones that make those decisions. And obviously, actually, in the past, they have been in control. They have created the budgets that we're living with, and they've made the commitments. Because typically, you know, there is a split, and it does go down party lines as far as additional spending commitments. And I think that we have to, you know, from my all the years that I've been in public service, I mean, I've always felt like, you know, we have to make sure that we are meeting the needs, doing the things that government's supposed to do, and be very cautious and careful about any, you know, additional programs that we do, because the only way we can fund those programs is by collecting money from the taxpayer. Mm-hmm. And the message that I'm getting from people is that, you know, we're taxed to the hilt, and we, you know, we're concerned about staying in our homes or, you know, just paying the basic bills of everyday life. So I'm hopeful that at some point, but, you know, honestly, since we've gone halfway through and there hasn't been serious conversation, I'm not sure that we're going to have a real serious conversation before the end of session without having a revenue package, and they have a number of taxes that they are looking at and proposing. So I think that seems to be the direction that we're going, and I'm hopeful that it will change, but you know, I'm kind of an eternal optimist too.
It seems as though we would benefit from perhaps having someone like Elon Musk take a run at Olympia. You think there could ever be a Doge-like exercise in Olympia?
Well, there actually is a Doge Washington, if you know, you can get online there in social media, and they have identified quite a number of things, and I have gotten some emails, you know, questioning how in the world could, you know, the state of Washington be paying for some of these things, and it's similar to what's happening at the federal level, where certain agencies or commissions have gotten money, and they are funding things that I'm thinking, well, that certainly is not where, you know, the state would want to be spending their money. So I think there's a real opportunity there for us to really scrutinize where those dollars are going, because, you know, the taxpayer just pays it in and in a number of different forms and has no control or even clue, and myself included. When you look at the budget, I don't know all the, you know, intricate details of the spending that takes place with the $70 billion that the state has.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, it's going to be an interesting study. I'll have to look that up online and see what we can find out. In the meantime, anything else you'd like to share with the community, Senator?
Well, you know, I just want to assure them that, you know, as you've talked with the other representatives and senators, you can see that we are really being challenged, but we are committed to trying to, you know, provide the best for, you know, the people of Washington. And obviously, you know, we do have a different direction that we would like to go than what we've seen in the last few years. But as always, I've encouraged your input. And if you disagree with even things that you've heard me say, I mean, I still, you know, welcome your input. And I want to be able to understand exactly where people are, what their concerns are, and what their challenges are, because we do you know, want to end up this session with a better prospect for the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, as always, Senator, we appreciate you taking the time to bring us these legislative updates. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to our next visit.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much. Again, State Senator Keith Gaynor from your 12th District joining us for a legislative update from Olympia.